So we have been spending the past couple of weeks, or started last week actually, talking about what it means to be set apart, what it means to be set apart as children of God, and what it means to live like that, right? And so we've been kind of digging into that. This week, we're going to continue in our series, Set Apart. And I wanted to start, though, by telling you a true story. This is a true story. Marcos Rodriguez Pantoja, he was born in Spain in 1946, his mother died when he was three, and after enduring, his father remarried, and he endured years of abuse at the hands of his stepmother, and eventually he was actually sold to a local landowner, and that landowner put him with a goat herder, one of his goat herders, and he went out. What goat herders did in those days, especially, they go out into the mountains with a herd of goats, and they would stay up there for weeks, months at a time. And his job was he was going to learn from this goat herder about what goat herding was like, right? And he was eventually going to take over for him. So they go up into the mountains, and really soon after they go up into the mountains, the elderly goat herder who he was supposed to be learning from died. He was 7 years old. And for the next 11 years, nobody heard anything from Marcos Rodriguez Pantoja. And then in 1965, he was discovered by the Spanish civil forces. He had spent 11 years alone in the mountains in the sole company of wolves. And when they found him, he tried to bite them. He was howling. He was growling. He was running around on all fours like a wolf, because that's who he thought he was. And I don't know about you, but you know, there's been periods in my life where I've struggled to know who I was. And sometimes our circumstances, like things can happen to us, sometimes even traumatic things can happen to us. And when they do, it can cause us to question our identity. It can cause us to wonder who we are. And my circumstances, my choices, all kinds of factors were combining to convince me of who I was. And so I would act in a manner that was consistent with what I had come to believe about myself. And I know that there are some of us here this morning, and maybe that's where you are. Can you relate to that? I mean, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, you've been isolated, you've gotten lost. You made terrible choices just so that you could survive. And you come to believe some things about yourself. Your actions show it. Understanding who we are is so important, because how we see ourselves shapes how we live our lives. And we live in a world, y'all, that is, it feels like it's literally screaming at us all the time, all kinds of things about our identity. It feels like it's yelling at us all the time about who we are, and we can get so lost in all of the shame and all of the hurt that we experience, and that lostness can cause us to search for identity in all kinds of dangerous places. We can bind our identity to all kinds of deadly things. In this series, we're talking about what it means to be set apart and how we're supposed to live, but in order to get there, we've got to first understand some things about who we are. We've got to discover some things about our identity. And we're going to need, if we're going to learn how to be set apart, we're going to need to be reminded of the only place that our identity can safely be rooted. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter this morning, this week, and next week. We're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter, because this passage in 1 Peter has some really important things to tell us about who we are, about our identity. And when we understand who we are a little bit, it's going to shape how we act and how we choose to live. So, if you would, open up your Bible, turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start right there with verse 1. So my good friend Shelby just read this to us earlier, and so we're going to read it again, but we're going to dig into this passage and really allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us into his truth. So here's what it says, 1 Peter 2, 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you'll grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So this passage has something really important to say to us this morning about our identity, and I brought something along with me to help us kind of illustrate what it is that this passage says about our identity. Here's what it says. This passage teaches us that you are a baby. That's what it teaches you. You're a baby. That's a truth from Scripture. Okay, now if I said that on the playground, you'd be really mad right now, right? You would be, those are fighting words. If we were on the playground, I said, you're a baby, right? Those would be fighting words. But that's not necessarily what we're talking, this is so creepy. That's not necessarily what we're talking about this morning, okay? So that's the first thing that we've got to understand is that according to this passage of Scripture, you and I, we're babies. Now, I want to point out as a baby, let me see if I can remember. See if I remember how to do this. It's been a while. Let me see if I can remember how to do this. I'm just gonna. Have you guys surely like me? Sometimes you enjoy watching videos on YouTube or TikTok or wherever you watch. There are some awesome videos on there of dads changing diapers. Have you seen these? Where the right in the middle of diaper changing time, like the dad starts to gag and wants to throw up. Have you seen those videos? What I find interesting is I have never seen a video of a mom doing that. Have you ever? I've never seen that. Either ladies are tougher or something. I don't know what it is. Okay, I think I've got this. You just take this little tab right here. For those of you who may not know, this little tab, and you just, you know, fasten it right there. Look at that. Look at that. What? Yes, that's right. That's right. I deserve a round of applause. But here's the thing. I understand why they feel that way. I understand why that happens sometimes because guess what? Changing diapers is gross, okay? It's disgusting. In fact, I was trying to think of a way to describe it, and here's what I came up with, and I need to credit my friend Madison Batten for helping me with this. You know that tar that they use on the top of flat roofs, that black tar, that pitch that they put on the top of flat roofs? It's kind of like trying to clean that out of your wallet. That's what it's like. I'm just going to let that sit with you for a while so you can just let you kind of dig into that. It's disgusting. It's gross to change a diaper, okay? It's disgusting. That's why there's videos of dads gagging when they do it because it's gross. But what First Peter says, there's a few things that all babies need, right? The first thing that babies need is, guess what? Babies need to be changed, okay? What babies do sometimes is poop in their diapers, okay? And they need to be changed. And so Peter starts off this section by telling them, here's some things that you've got to take off. In fact, the word that he uses is literally the word for taking off clothes, right? So it might be literally the word that you might use if you were talking about, can you take that baby's diaper off? It might be that literally that same word. And so we know babies, all babies, they need to be changed because they do some really gross stuff in their shorts. Now, here's the thing. I know that you probably didn't think, this morning, I'm going to go to church and my pastor is going to preach a sermon about poop, okay? If you thought that, you don't know your pastor very well, okay? I just want to throw that out. But this happens, right, with babies. But guess what? With us, this kind of thing happens too. And you don't need for me to tell you this because many of us in our lives, we find ourselves in the middle of the stuff, right? Whatever that gross, nasty stuff is, we find ourselves in the middle of that in our lives. Some of us are even there this morning. And I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe that's a conversation or a relationship that you have with a coworker. Maybe it's a decision that you continue to make of a sin that you can't really get your head or your heart around. Maybe it's a relationship, frankly, that's just based on all these kinds of unhealthy things. And here's what I know. I know that in a room this size, there are many of us who have some things this morning that just need to be taken off of us. There's a reason why babies get upset when you don't change their diaper. It's because, like, sitting in a dirty diaper is is disgusting and it's uncomfortable, right? And eventually, guess what? It does, it hurts you. Like it causes, anybody who's seen a baby with diaper rash, you know what that's about. That looks awful, right? So in order for us to be healed and whole and healthy, right, we've got to be able to take the stuff off of us that is hurting us, that is destroying us. But here's the thing. I've never seen, I wish this would have happened. I wish this would have happened. I wish that one day Carson would have just looked at me when she was a little baby and she just said, hey, no, dad, I got this. I got it. She never said that. She can't, babies can't change themselves, right? Parents have to change them. And what you need to know this morning, there are some things that you need to throw off of your life. There's some things that you need to get rid of. There's some habits, some destructive behaviors that are going on in your life right now, and they are really stinking the place up. That's just the reality of the situation. And you need to get those things off of you. The problem is you've been trying over and over and over again to get rid of them, to change, to do better, whatever it is, however it is you want to describe it, and you just keep failing over and over again. The reason is because you can't do it on your own. That's the reason. The Lord God is the one who changes. The Lord God is the one who cleanses. The Lord God is the one who heals. And today there's some of us this morning, we just have to admit, like Peter was trying to tell those folks, look, there's things that you need to get rid of. We need to admit there are things in our life that are gross, that are nasty, that are harming us, and they need to be changed. And we need his help to do it. The biggest problem, though, that many of us have, the biggest problem, though, is we may be sitting in a huge pile of poop this morning, but we are pretending like we're not. We don't really think it's that big of a deal. We don't understand the decisions and the actions that we're partaking in. We don't see them for what they are. And this morning, I just want to tell you, that happens to us with sin sometimes. That kind of thing can happen to us. And it may be that this morning, there are some things in your life right now that are going on, and you think they're not that bad. You're pretending like it's not that big of a deal. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is bringing some of those things to your mind. And he's telling you, no, you got to get rid of this. It's destroying you. It's killing you. You've got to stop. You've got to get rid of it. And what I can tell you is the good news this morning is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, freedom is available for all of us today. Cleansing is available for all of us today. Healing is available for all of us. I remember as a new dad being sound asleep, okay? Sound asleep in the middle of the night when all of a sudden my peaceful repose was shattered by this otherworldly sound, you know? Like, and I remember like, sitting up in bed and thinking to myself, is that a specter? Is that a banshee? Is it a chupacabra? Oh, I wish it was a chupacabra because I really want to see a chupacabra one day, right? But I would wake up and think, what in the world is that crazy sound that's happening? And then after a brief amount of time, I would say to myself, oh, that's right. I'm a dad now. That's my child, okay? That's my baby who is woken up in the middle of the night. Because another thing that's true about babies, ladies and gentlemen, is babies gotta eat, right? Babies have to eat. And well, believe me, I worried so much whenever we had our first kid. I worried so much because I thought to myself, how are we gonna know when it's time to feed the baby? Like, how are we gonna know, you know, how to take care of this baby? Let me just say, if you're not a parent in the room, let me just say to you, you never have to wonder when your baby is gonna need to be fed, okay? They will tell you, all right? They cry, and I mean, it's amazing. The sound that they make, it's unbelievable, okay? When they're ready to, in fact, you watch a baby when they're hungry, when they're crying because they wanna eat, like every muscle in their bodies is just like, they're like, yeah! You know, that's what they do. Some of you, that's what I just did is the only thing you're going to remember about this sermon. But that's what babies do. Like every muscle in their body, they're screaming at the top of their lungs because they know they got to eat, right? And the thing about you and I, Peter is telling his audience, and he's telling us this morning, that this is how we're supposed to respond. This is how we're supposed to be when it comes to God's truth, when it comes to God's goodness, right? We're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to crave it with every bone in our body, every muscle in our body. That is supposed to be, we're supposed to cry out for it. And some of us, to be honest, that's just not where we're living. The truth is, first of all, that all of us have an insatiable craving inside of us. We have a craving inside of us, and it's for the presence of the Lord God. Every one of us, we were created with that. But the issue that many of us have is we have this craving that's going on inside of us, and it almost takes us over, right? But we don't know what to do with it, and we're trying to find all kinds of other ways to meet that craving, to satiate that craving that's going on inside of us. We're trying to plug in all kinds of things to do that. But here's the thing. Money won't stop a baby from crying. Did you know that? When it's hungry? You can't say, if I give you $20, will you stop crying? You can't say that to a baby. Guess why? Babies don't care about money. They care about eating, right? That's all they care about. You can't offer them a toy. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't matter if you're stuck in the car and you forgot the bottle, right? You're stuck in the car and you have 2 hours left to go and that baby's hungry. You can't give them anything. There is no toy you can give them that will make them stop crying. There's no pacifier that you can give them that will make them stop crying. There's no blankie that you can give them. The only thing that will stop them from crying is, guess what? A bottle. That's the only thing. This is what they know, this is what they need, and they're not stopping crying until they get it, right? But some of us have been doing exactly that. Also, you can't feed a baby a hamburger. Okay, you can't. They can't eat a hamburger, right? That doesn't help them. If you give them a hamburger, oh, that actually might hurt them. And that's, again, what we do. We look at all kinds of other things. What can stop this craving inside of me? What can stop this aching that's going on in my heart? We're cramming all kinds of things in there. And everything that we're doing, it doesn't satisfy. And it often ends up harming us in the long run because it's not what we need. What do we need? We need the presence of God. We need the truth of God. We need it in our lives. Now look, y'all, sometimes, can I be honest with you? Like when I was feeding my kids, once they got into solid food, when I was feeding them like those peas, you know what I'm talking about? Those green peas that are mashed up. You know what? That baby food is disgusting, okay? It is gross. But I'm telling you, babies love that stuff. Man, they are all over that, most of it. They love that stuff. They eat it, right? And here's the thing. Sometimes you and I can look at God's truth, and it can look to us, because our perspective is so jacked up, because our world is so jacked up, we can look at God's truth, and it can look totally unappealing to us. We can be like, that's not what we need. That doesn't look like it would taste good at all. We can think that. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit of God knows exactly what we need. And His truth, even if we think it's not going to taste good, even if we think that that's not going to work out, right? God's truth is what we need. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that will cause us to grow. It's the only thing that will keep us healthy and whole. It's the only thing that we can run to. Baby's got to eat, and you and I do too. This morning, the question that's kind of in front of all of us this morning is, where are you going for satisfaction? What are you using to try to satisfy yourself this morning? And maybe this morning there's some things that we need to put down, that we need to take off. But guess what else? There's some things that we need to stop chasing. We've got to understand that it's God's truth, that it's God's presence. That's the only thing that can satisfy us today. And some of us just need to stop running from the Lord God. We need to stop looking at God's truth, at God's desire for our lives. We need to stop looking at that and going, you know what, that looks kind of gross. I don't think I want that. We need to understand He knows what's best for us. And we need to receive it from his hand. In fact, we need to be after that. We need to be like shaking that we want it so bad. We need to be crying out, Peter says, for that nourishment that comes from God. And frankly, some of us, we're starving to death. We're starving to death and we're just not that interested in the one thing that can really help us. And I need you to hear that. Amy and I used to swap off the night feedings. Amy will probably dispute this. She's like, I don't remember the swapping, okay? But no, there were times where I actually got up with our daughters in the middle of the night and fed them. And can I be honest with you? Like, those are some of my favorite memories in my life, because like you go and you pick your baby up and you're holding your baby and you're feeding them and they make all these little sounds, you know, when you're feeding them. Parents, you guys who you know about these, when they're eating, they're making all these little grunts and sighs, you know what I mean? And you kind of looking into their face, you know, and you're watching them eat. And I know this is going to surprise you, but I was always talking to my kids whenever they were doing that. And I would talk to them, and I would make all kinds of jokes, and I would sing them silly songs, you know. And even in the middle of the night, even when I was really exhausted, I loved every moment of those times, right? Just listening to my daughter breathe. Those are special times. The other thing that babies need, right? Babies need to be changed. Babies need to be fed, right? But babies also need to be held. This is maybe something that you have never thought about whenever you were reading this passage. I say that because I had never thought about it until I was studying for this message. But there's really no mistaking the image that Peter is using here. In the ancient world, There was only one way to feed a baby, okay? A baby got its nourishment, got its nutrients from the body of its mother. Feeding the baby was skin to skin. It was intimate. You held your baby close, and that's how they got what they needed. That's how they thrived. That's how they were nourished. And when Peter's talking about tasting the kindness of God, what he's talking about this intimacy with God, being drawn close to the heart of God. The only way for a baby to be fed in the ancient world was right next to its mother's heart. That's how they were fed. And for us, right, for us, what God wants to do for you and I this morning, he doesn't just want to nourish us. He doesn't just want to strengthen us. He doesn't just want to give us life. He wants to pull us close to him. He wants to hold us close. He wants for life to flow from him into us. It's way more than just giving us what we need to survive. It's way more than that. It's deep, deep compassion and love. It's feeling the heartbeat of the living God. I just want to say, there's probably someone here this morning, and you're wondering what this Christianity thing is all about, right? You've heard about it a million times, and you wonder what it's about. And you think that Christianity is like being a member of a church. Or you think that Christianity is acting in a certain way, like doing certain things and then not doing certain things, okay? Look, being a member of a church and acting in a certain way, I'm not trying to say those things aren't important, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if that's all you think Christianity is, you are missing the deepest and the most profound part of what it means to be a follower of Christ, of what it means to be a Christian. Here's what it means to be a Christian, and this is available to every person in this room this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're from, right? No matter what your past consists of this morning, every person in this room, this is available to you. God wants to draw you to his heart. He wants to hold you to his chest. He wants to call you his precious son, his precious daughter. And he wants to begin a relationship with you And in that relationship, his life will flow into you and will cause you to become all that he's created you to be. That's God's purpose for every person in this room. That's what's available today for every person in this room. That's what it means to be a Christian. And I want that for you. More than anything else. That's why we come here every week. So that other people can get to know a God who loves them like that. We're about to receive communion. And I love communion, especially today, because when we receive communion, what we're doing is we're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, the love that he showed for each of us. He allowed his body to be broken for us. He allowed his blood to be spilt for us. That's what he did. The other thing that we're doing when we receive communion is it's this great picture of what's actually happening in our souls and in our spirit when we commune with God, right? When we live in relationship with God. God puts his spirit in us. God causes his spirit to flow into us. And so when we take the bread and when we dip it in the juice and when we eat it, when it goes into our bodies, right? It's this great reminder that that's what the Spirit of God is doing in us. This is what God desires to do in us. He wants to place his spirit in each of us. He wants to sustain you like that. And so as we come to receive communion today, let's come this morning asking God, what do I need to lay down? Let's come this morning asking God, where am I looking for satisfaction? Am I looking to you or am I looking somewhere else? Let's come asking the Lord God, I just want to be drawn to your heart today, Lord. And as we receive communion, let's allow the Spirit to do that in us and for us today. A couple things about communion at First Shallow Water. This table is not our table. It belongs to God. And so anyone here this morning who is a follower of Christ, anyone who's surrendered their heart and their life to Christ, you're welcome at the table. This morning, if you're wondering, what does that mean? If all this stuff that I'm saying about Christianity, if you're like, I don't understand really what that is, here's what I would tell you. Anyone in this room this morning, if you would say to the Lord God this morning, if you would say, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. If you'd say that prayer to the Lord God this morning, if you'd mean that from the bottom of your heart, then what happens? Is that God causes his spirit to dwell on you and to dwell in you. He begins a work in you where he recreates you over time into the perfect, beautiful thing that he designed you to be from the beginning. He causes his name to dwell on you. You become a son. You become a daughter of God. If you're here this morning and you've never done that before, there's never been a time in your life where you've surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, I'm so excited because today is your day. Today is the day that God wants to begin a relationship with you that will change everything about who you are. If you want to know more about that, if you have questions about that, you can head right there to that door. There's a sign on that door that says, how can I pray for you? Folks from our prayer team will be there. They will meet you at that door, and they'd be happy to pray for you this morning. That's why they came. Anyone who needs prayer this morning, as soon as we begin communion, you can head right to that spot, and someone will be there to pray for you. But let's don't miss this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us, to convict us, to show us where it is that we need him. I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward. I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to invite our communion servers and ushers to go ahead and come down. And when we finish praying, we're going to receive communion together. Let's pray. Now, go ahead and stand up if you would, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your Spirit. Lord, the reality is, God, that we need you. We need you more than we are even able sometimes or willing to admit. And so this morning, whatever that pride is that keeps us from admitting that we need you so desperately, whatever that is, God, I pray that you would just throw that off of us today. I pray that you would just break that off of us. I pray that you would just make us like newborn infants. There's no arguing about what we need. There's no discussion about what it is that we really need. I pray you make us like newborn infants this morning, keenly aware that what we have, God, is you. Do that work in our hearts. Do that work in our lives this morning. And as we come to your table this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would convict us. And I pray that we would return, God, to relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.